Right, you mean me or the dog? But no, Carla, in all seriousness, and we've said it here all the time, it is really impossible to sit here, even over 2, 4, even 6 hour span, and speak to every aspect of everything. And we've only been on less than an hour. So the whole idea, when we open up the telephone lines, it is for Barbadians to indicate what they want to speak on or what they want to hear on. So you have the opportunity, and your approach would be to raise it and not highlight that we've not raised this. Because anybody can call at this stage. 200 people can call right after you and say that we've not touched on A, B, or C. The whole idea is a program like this. We're going to do that. Secondly, we were in conversation with a minister in the Ministry of Finance, Ryan Strong, who I believe is way more capable than myself or the doc here in terms of speaking about the financial implications. And as I said in the beginning of the program, the government is going to be rolling out some programs. I know they met with the editors of the media. They're going to be rolling out the implications for social, economic, health, etc. going on down through the week. I said that this program, it has a two-pronged approach. We're here. We have Dr. Adrian Exercise Lord in studio. He's going to be looking at filtering all that information that you're reading out there to kind of decipher, you know, fact from fiction. And on the other hand, I want Barbadians to call in and give their opinion so that the leaders listening, whether it be media leaders, government leaders, whoever, can get a pulse of the people and be able to craft their response through programs, through information, etc. So that's it. So we can clearly say that there are persons out there concerned about the financial implications for tourism. So that is something that we need to address. I'm not going to be pretending to know everything and I can address it. I can't. Let's take another call. Brass Tack Sunday, you're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, good morning.
I would like to say something about the virus. And also with the disabled. Sometimes I feel offended. Because I hear people being mentioned, the children, the ages, the society, never about the disabled, or throughout the world where there is any sort of disease or disaster, you can never hear. How many disabled people must be infected? Where to go? Who to speak? Other. Sometimes I wonder if the world would like to see all disabled people just disappear because they're never mentioned of us. They only see us as a responsibility. How much money they have to spend for us, but they never see us as a human being. I am not apologizing to the way I feel. You know, you hear about everybody, but nothing about us. And if I don't phone or speak or even ask questions, nobody includes us, you know, and it's really, we always feel like we will never be a part of the society. What is so wrong against including the disabled in any disaster, anything, you know, there is persons, as the doctor said, who got hypertension. That disability counts as disability, you know. So you need to include all persons and don't be afraid to just say the word disabled person or two. You know, we play a big part in this society. We have children is disabled. We have all kinds of children that is disabled, you know. I never hear in any country in any part of the world that can ever tell you how much person they lost for this sickness. any disaster. Guess how look at it, that's all I got.
Yeah, you are so right. There have not been stats coming out stating how many disabled persons or differently abled persons have suffered from or what the fatality rate in these people are. They classify them by age, by sex, by country, by their conditions, underlying conditions, but nobody, no statistics I've seen has quantified the number of disabled persons, which may be a good thing that maybe the disabled persons are not being affected as bad as things, so it may not be significant.
I want to add to that, and I mean, it may not be a popular view, but for me, I see it as progress. As there's a negative and a positive. I agree with Roz that, you know, sometimes this when you split the information, it helps you to deal with the epidemic or pandemic better, so you can know where to target it. But I do believe that in arguing, and the advocates have argued for them to become mainstream, to be part, to be seen as human beings too. So I think that is like a lose-lose, because when you try to put them and when you try to put everyone together, because we can, you could see breakdowns by NCD, poor and thing, and you could break it down, but there's not those types of breakdowns. We see men, we see women, we see by age. I don't think that it is necessarily purpose work in terms of trying to leave out. I believe it is they're seen as one, and that is a positive way to look at it. In terms of actually breaking it down further, I believe that that can be necessary too in terms of targeting, in terms of where do we need to target the focus. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from more of you, the public. Of course, lots of WhatsApps coming in. And of course, I want you to be able to share your feelings or answer your question on this edition of Brass Tacks Sunday, looking at COVID-19, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful permaclad U-panel and R-panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices. Delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christ Church 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Right, we're back with you on Brass Tacks Sunday. If you're now joining us from church, we are in studio with Dr. Adrian Exercise Lord. I promise to call you that forever. Here on...
It's a good change from Adrian Drug Lord.
So. Drug Lord, yeah, whoa. We're talking COVID-19, and we have a two-pronged program today. Looking on one hand for Dr. Lord to decipher and filter some of the information for information overload or underload, depending. And on the other hand, we just want to hear from you, Barbadians, your thoughts on, you know, the how should we treat the schools and working from home and church and the borders crop over. You know, what are your feelings? What are you seeing? We want to be able to do those two things on this program as we head towards quarter after one. Now, before we went on that last break, we were looking at the disabled amid COVID-19. And we were reminded by one of our advocates here, Rosalind, that they're not seeing information related to the disabled. The conversation we had on and off here looked at, you know, we don't see breakdowns for everything, and it's not necessarily, I believe, a slight, but we do have to look at how do we treat every community as it relates to COVID-19.
Yes, the differently abled and disability is physical and also mental, but the physically disabled or the people with medical conditions that have disabled them need medication. And we need to make sure that we have adequate supplies of these medications in this situation, because some of the drugs that we do use, China may be a source of some of the supplies of the medication. So we have to look at it from that point of view. People who may be on immunosuppressants, to help this disabled condition, be it multiple sclerosis, be it cancer or whatever, they are at risk for the COVID virus, COVID-19, because if they are suppressed, the viruses just take hold of you at that time, and therefore they have to be extra careful and maybe keep away from areas where they could be persons who are may have this, or make sure the hygiene. This whole thing is personal hygiene, hand washing, keeping your hands out of your mouth, eyes, and nose, and social distancing where practical. Those are basic things that we need to put in place. Cleaning of surfaces. So you don't want people to be totally paranoid, but you have to be careful. Or as we say, scornful.
Yeah, listen, this virus, the mechanisms put in place for this virus, it taught us how social beings we are. I came in through the day, wasn't able to shake your hand, and I felt like I unmannerly. Yeah, we so accustomed, and I just have to program myself to, you know, to greet differently.
I was in church this morning, and when we got to the greeting of peace, we were taught to bow, but people didn't even want to go to other persons to bow. Or even do the elbow knock. I saw Alvin Gemmett there, and I made sure he knocked his elbow. Hello, Alvin. Welcome to church this morning. Don't see you too often. But it does. But we'll get accustomed to it. It is a necessity that we have to do at this time, so we will do what we have to do to get over this hump.
So I definitely agree. I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, although we don't start. I think that we'll go away, and this too shall pass, like many other things that we've been through. People here are reminding me that when they speak about the vulnerable, they take all these things into consideration. There is lots of discussion here. They're saying to you, it's not true to say that children are not getting COVID-19. It is that when young children are affected, they don't get as sick or get sick as heavily as adults. The danger is that the children can be asymptomatic and spread to the more vulnerable adults. And they say children can get it and bring it home to us on their clothes, etc. So they're saying that. And they say, by the way, one of these people that are talking here, they hold some toilet paper, and they say it's for blowing your nose.
Okay.
So thank you. Thank you very much for that.
I thought they had tissues for that. But that is true. And if we do close our schools, as Jamaica has done and Trinidad, who will keep those children? The grandparents, the retired persons who are, and if these children do bring home the virus, as you say, if they do get it, the fatality rate in children is very, very, very low. Mm-hmm. But then they pass it on. You just touch your nose.
Yeah, never worry. You got to say to me what you're doing now, too.
See how he's using his hand sanitizer right away. You see how sensitive people are. Before, nobody would have noticed that. Yeah, but when you get this situation and pass it on to the adults, then they are susceptible because they have the chronic non-communicable diseases. They are in that age group where they're likely. And we haven't even talked about the geriatrics, the homes for the elderly, where then when you visit these people and you pass on the virus, then it could cause problems. We saw an institution in New York where the fatality rate was very high.
There's an initiative that we're going to be talking about here where there's a company they've produced and they're giving hand sanitizer to all of the 1,000 caregivers in the geriatric system and the geriatric patients and so on. So I'm going to, you can look out to hearing about that. I have a comment, a question, and then back to the line. We've got a full board, so be patient with us. This one says, I think people are panicking too much. We need to calm down and stop worrying so much. We would die of heart failure before the coronavirus gets to us. That's that comment. Question. I have one question or an observation. Even though we are at stage zero, does Dr. Lord not think that we should be seeing a lot more intensive and regular public cleanings and spraying, and especially at the hospital and bush shelters, etc.?
Yes, we should. I'm not aware that there's not been, having visited the hospital, there are a lot of the hand sanitizers around, and the hospital is aware, as well as the other public institutions, they're aware of this, and offices, customer service areas, where there's interaction with the public, there is some cleaning. And on that point of cleaning, the use of household bleach, how much should you really use? 5 tablespoons of bleach per gallon of water. I say again, 5 tablespoons of bleach, which is 1/3 of a cup, per gallon of water, or 4 teaspoons of bleach per quart of water. And that is the recommended for cleaning surfaces. So you don't have to overdo it. For drain outlets, they recommend 1/2 liter of water down the drain, and pour some diluted bleach, 1 in 100, down the drain, and repeat it again. For surfaces, you use the disinfectant wipes, or you can use other things. Mopping the floor, you use 1 in 100 diluted household bleach. For areas that are dirty, a stronger 1 in 50 solution, but clean and mop dry is what is recommended. For furnitures, you should wipe thoroughly with the 1 in 100 diluted household bleach, 1 part in 99 parts of water. So those are some of the things that we have, and that's why some of the bleaches has disappeared from the...
yep, I see that there's a shortage in bleach as well. Yeah. All right, let's go to the telephone lines. Good afternoon and welcome to Brasstalk Sunday. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
Hi, this is Glenn Murray, and good afternoon to your esteemed guest, Dr.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes, please.
Good afternoon, Glenn. Long time no see.
That's right. Yeah, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Corey, I would not dare to try to trespass on the province of Dr. Lord. In fact, there's no need to, because from what I've been hearing, he's staying very much in keeping with and consistent with all the other medical scientific information that I've been getting from other reliable sources. But instead, I'd like to delve into somewhat into the human behavior aspect of this phenomenon. I try to deal with the sociology and the psychology of it. Because one of the things that has come about is that people are operating for the basis of fear. This is in contrast to the scientific, rational information coming out of the scientists. But we know that there's often a clash between science and irrationality when fear comes in. And fear is normally from my all I've known based on ignorance of what to expect. And therefore, may contrast the reaction to the coronavirus in the Barbadian context, for example, as against how we reacted to a hurricane. A hurricane, we are familiar with hurricanes. The history of hurricanes, we can see the effects of hurricanes. But it's against the virus, which cannot be seen when it's coming or not coming or whatever. And that is why I think that has to explain the reaction, not only in Barbados, but the younger world, what in sociology terms you call a universal, this reaction to toilet paper. Because when a human being feels threatened, when there's the idea of death, every organism seeks to preserve itself. And it's instructed then that people are going for toilet paper, rather than when we have a hurricane coming in Brazil, by lumber, wood, nails, food, drink, and not toilet paper, because they don't feel under duress and stress. Their existence is not being stressed like that. And the fact that it's universal means that there is in psychology something, I'm sure Dr. Lord have heard of this, and there's a phenomenon of analism, which you see in young children, mm-hmm. where they're growing up and they're defecating. They play with and they become very obsessive with it. Hence, you get a term of being anal, retentive, or anal in your behavior, etc. in pop psychology. So I'm saying that could help explain what is happening all over the world, despite the culture, despite the politics, despite the economy, that human beings are being obsessed with getting hold of toilet paper. The other thing is, Barbados is a quite a sophisticated society and an educated one, though sometimes people might not want to believe that. And we need to have to start selling ourselves short in our accomplishment. We've had a good, sound developing, we've consistently improved health service, public health service, from the 1950s, where we started having the health centers there and more and all around Barbados. Then they became into the polyclinics and all that. So that we have an infrastructure for that in place, and Dr. Lord, I'm sure, will confirm that every day Barbadians through its health service system at the ports and airports and otherwise deal with issues that don't come to the public attention, because the system, the protocols, the treatments, the knowledge, the science is there to deal with them. You don't hear about typhoid And therefore, we have to give trust to our system. We have to give trust to our personnel, to the training of our personnel to be able to provide the same, similarly high level of protection and defense for our system. In addition, just look at our history. Barbados has been able to cope with, Barbados has, through its accumulated knowledge and experience, we've done very well in rum, our size. People often say we are a small society, although that's an impediment. No, in many cases, it's a strength because we're able to detect, manage, stimulate, treat issues faster than, say, the United States can because of its size and complexity, the strict structure of government, the state versus the federal government. So therefore, we have an advantage. And that we have used the advantage. That did not stop, our size did not stop us from being inventing rum, produce the best rum in the world. We did say there was sugar. And sugarcane varieties, which I to work in producing sportsmen, in academic lecturers. So we have been doing the same thing consistently in our medical system. Let me tell you a story, if you give me a minute. I remember when I was in government, I was Minister of State in the Prime Minister's office. I went to University HIV AIDS Commission for, I had to go to a conference, the United Nations, on HIV AIDS. And as soon as we got there, we were getting urgent messages from the United States delegation that they want to meet with us. They want to take us to visit this radical, revolutionary institution they had in society. They think we'd be something we'd be interested in, and because they know that they heard about our success at treating HIV AIDS. They want to show us this thing that we can probably incorporate in their system. We ready to agree to go. They came first early in the morning, 8 o'clock, and rushed us to this center. And when they were so impressed, they were glowing and extolling. And when it got there, all it was the equivalent of all polyclinics. It was free. People from the community going, and they thought they were breaking new ground. I said, I'm afraid I had a birthday, Bob. I said, but we've been doing this. You know, so, yeah, they thought, and they were shocked. You understand? Let us not sell ourselves short. Let us believe in ourselves, trust it, use our rationality, use our education that we seek to, that we like to brag about. This is where it counts. But we know very often, like I said, when people are worried, upset, they're seeking reassurance, let them take reassurance in the faith, in the sense. And there's a famous saying ascribed to Oliver Cromwell in the war. He said, trust in the Lord, my boys, but keep your powder dry. That powder being gunpowder. So let's be practical and trust in the Lord, trust in your philosophy, trust in your religion, trust in your sense. But at the same time, do practical things. Keep the powder dry by doing practical things, like washing your hands, and all the protocol. Those kinds of practices have served Barbados well in the past. That is why we've had such a low rate of infant mortality, for example. We were able to virtually eliminate transmission of HIV AIDS from mother to child. Yep. All those are successes that we can rely on, take pride in, and let us use the same rationale, the same behavior, take our camp time and follow the science, follow the authorities who have proven themselves to be very reliable and trustworthy. Do not get confused. I seldom ever read anything that dealing on this unless it comes from a source.
Yep.
Don't confuse yourself because you want gossip to pass on. And people, I think there's a perverse sense that people get out of the availability of technology, the cell phones, etc.
Yep. To
pass on information because they want to. Some people get thrilled out of knowing they cause a stir. And people talk about what they did. Mm. It is something that happens again all over the world. It's universal where people, like I say, get this satisfaction of being making the news and or creating news to have people talking about it. So I just thought I'd bring those two elements. I hope it helps to add a wider dimension to a person that we have to factor in. In the same way that government has gone, like I said on Friday, gone very well to combine social sciences and sociology, for example, through Dr. Richard Carter, put him in head of the coordinating the national effort, along with the science of the doctors, etc. Let us also factor in human behavior, the psychology of the experiences of person, what they know, what they don't know, what, and if they don't know, they will get angst, and factor special courses, information, treatment, even the music we play at certain occasions that will help to calm people. There's all those are factors that I think we have to take into consideration to make sure that we ride out this incident, this phenomenon, as well as we can. Because nobody can see, nobody knows how long it will go, but we need to be able to stay calm and stay rational And like I say, trust in the Lord, but keep our powder dry.
All right. Thank you very much for that timely intervention, giving it a different spin. Always necessary. I have a number of WhatsApp questions here I'm going to put to you before we go back to the line. It says, what about persons attending work with coughs and colds and putting those who have compromised immune systems at risk? How can this nonsense be abated? This is very prevalent in the public sector. What do you recommend, Doc?
Yeah, if you have a cough, you really should not turn up to work, especially if you are in that environment where you may pass it on to other persons. Because as we said, our thing about it is containment. There is a proposal, I understand, where sick leave may be without maybe extended. That's now to be looked at. But do not endanger your colleagues. It is even getting to work, if you use public transportation, that could be a problem, and then you go into the workplace. So we need to contain any suspected viral illnesses. And it's better not to be in the work environment if you have cough, fever, those type of symptoms.
All right, this one, Corey, my question is, what if the coronavirus comes to our shores 1 week before common entrance? What would the ministry do? Would they postpone until a further date? Please tell me. I cannot tell you what the Ministry of Education would do, but I put your question out there so that it goes into the atmosphere, not as a droplet, it goes into the atmosphere so that they can answer during the week.
Aerosol.
Yeah. This one says, Corey and Dr. Lord, what do I do if I suspect that I may have the virus? How am I tested? Where do I go? Secondly, does Dr. Lord believe that we should wait until we have our first case to close our borders? I am seriously in disagreement with the government as their goal is seemingly economic. You can answer the first.
Well, if you suspect you have the virus, you should call your doctor or the polyclinic. Make a phone call and inform them of the symptoms. There is also a hotline number, which we will repeat again, 536-4500. You can call the hotline and you can get advice of where you should go, or they will send nurses or medical team to your residence or wherever you are and assess you and then advise you what they need to be done. Where can I get tested? The tests done are nasopharyngeal swabs. Naso meaning nose, pharynx means the back of the throat. So it's actually putting something like a Q-tip through your nose right to the back of your throat. So it goes right through that, you know, when people have the post-nasal drip, it comes back there, so it goes right there and removes some of the secretions. And then they do the other nostril, and it's then put in a biohazard bag and taken to the lab. Only suspected cases, in suspected cases, you will do this test. It's not a blood test. This is a nasopharyngeal swab, which is done, and the Bacis dos Santos lab will then do the test. It's not available at your regular doctor's offices. You must be specially trained, that is, doctors must be specially trained to do this test. So it's only done by specialized persons, and they're now training some other persons so that they can do the test. I think that's the question that they were asking.
Yes, yes, that's the question. The other thing is about the borders.
The borders, closing borders. Yeah, well, at this stage, at phase zero, there's no need to close our borders. We'll wait stage one. Phase one will then look at the border closing and office when it gets down the line.
Mm-hmm. All right, seeing that we have a few minutes before the latest, I'll ask you this other question. It says, can the doctor tell us how long does the symptoms last if you do get infected with COVID-19?
The symptoms can last like any other viral illness. Once recovered, you can last between 1 to 2 weeks. The incubation period is 14 days, 5 to 14 days. And there is a lot of debate as we speak as to whether during that incubation period, that's the period between the time you caught the virus and somebody to get symptoms, if it can be transmitted at that stage. But I guess we can discuss that a little bit more later in the program.
For sure. The music tells us it's time to go. Someone else saying, you know, I bought paper in bulk because we don't know if it's suspected cases. The ships may start coming. Plus, if one single case hit Barbados, they will start to upsell and raise the prices so high. Well, that music tells us it's time for the latest. This is Brass Tax Sunday, the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. More after the news.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials. So building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals
we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.